It can be very frustrating to try to fit a square peg into a round hole. And it can be frustrating if your beliefs and your life are a lot like that square peg, round hole, don't fit together. It's easier when they line up. Beliefs and life. Do you know what you believe? Do you know what you believe about God? I recommend you take some time. Consider it. Then live accordingly. We have an affirmation of faith each time we gather at Daleville Christian Church. This one from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches in the city of Rome. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The reading of God's word is from that same letter to the churches in the city of Rome, the 10th chapter, the 12th through the 17th verse. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We are starting Pastor Appreciation Month a Sunday early today. One of the reasons for that is convenience. I've had to be ready for grandbaby to be born, and I was working on planning October, Pastor Appreciation Month. So the sermon was half prepared before midweek this week, and the news of my granddaughter's birth. So here we are. The sermon topics for Pastor Appreciation Month concern preaching. I had to ask myself whether sermons that are about sermons would be helpful to you folks in the pew. The answer is yes, they should be. And with help from the Holy Spirit, sermons that are about sermons will be uplifting to you, those of you who are not preachers. Even though I am the only one who does the preaching here, you who do not preach can, and I pray you will, benefit from talking about preaching. Now, I've said that I'm the only one who preaches here regularly, but I don't know how many husbands in different churches have said to me, you should come to my house. My wife preaches to me all the time. I never asked those husbands what they meant by that comment, but their wives were either laughing knowingly or they were glaring at their husbands knowingly. That does remind me that there are some jokes about preaching, and someday I must find some of those and share them with you. But don't get too excited. I didn't say that they would be good jokes. They're just jokes about preaching. So let's get some perspective on preaching in America in the 21st century. But first, let's talk about teaching in America. Education and schools are a regular part of the public discussion. Every week there are any number of media reports on education, internationally, nationally, or at the state level, or at the local level. State legislators and our State Department of Education have been the focus of changes in school test revisions and school test results. There are many attempts to improve education. One way I think every state attempts to improve teaching is to honor and award outstanding teachers. In working on this message, I learned that there are at least 10 national teaching awards every year. I know that there are state awards and local awards for excellence in teaching. Okay, so let's turn to preaching. How many recognitions or awards are there for outstanding preaching? None. None. Some schools have them for their students. One preaching society has one for students. Maybe a denomination or two has them for their own pastors. That's it. So how am I going to know excellent preaching? Well, come to find out, I discovered in my recent search that there is, or last year there was, a list of the 12 most effective preachers in America. That's great. Let's take a look at that list. Well, there are a couple of problems with the list. Only one university publishes the list, and they've only published it twice in 20 years. Okay, well, let's see the list. Oh, another problem. At least one of the pastors on the list is deceased and has been for a number of years. So, am I going to have to be dead to have a hope of getting on the list of effective preachers in America? Is that good preaching? Oh, wait, here's the name of a pastor I have heard of, and they are listed, and this is a pastor whose sermons I have read and liked a lot. That pastor was named Time Magazine's Most Influential People in 2014. Wait a minute, there's a problem. They made the list in 2018, but they had already left the pulpit in 2002. So one of the best preachers on the list is dead, and another hasn't preached a sermon in 18 years. Those sermons back in the year 2000 must have been super superior. Well, I saw that one of the best preachers in America is a professor of preaching. That's good. Except if you teach preaching, you don't actually preach every week. You don't do anything but work on sermons. Yours or someone else's. Most pastors do not get that kind of time to prepare every week. So, do pastors have a chance of improving their preaching? Another preacher started serving his congregation preaching. As the church grew, he became the preaching pastor as part of a staff of 24 pastors, and now he no longer preaches at this church, and he's eight years older than me. I'm just saying it's hard to get on the list of best preachers if you pastor and preach. And maybe you need to be done preaching every week in order to be a good preacher. Or at least be recognized once every 10 years for being good at something you used to do. Are you feeling my frustration? You should. It means that some of the best preaching in this country is not being done in front of congregations. Not you, not anyone. Okay, maybe we can find the most popular preachers and listen to them. Most well-known preacher in America is probably Joel Osteen. He leads the largest church in America in Houston, Texas. He has authored several best-selling books, and even his wife has written 7 books and one coming out next year. Osteen's televised sermons are seen by over 7 million viewers weekly and over 20 million people monthly in over 100 countries, broadcast from the largest church in America in Houston, Texas. He also has not taken the time to write a book on preaching. Perhaps I should just watch him and take notes. The late Pastor Robert Schuller was seen and heard internationally on Sundays on the world's most widely watched hour-long church service, The Hour of Power. His congregation did not do well in the changeover of leadership when he retired, although it had been planned, but Schuller also did not write any book on preaching. So the topic of preaching has authors who haven't preached in a while, or preaching has very popular practitioners who do not write about preaching. Perhaps here I should say something about popularity in America. In the game of popularity, higher numbers declare everyone the winner. If you have 7 million viewers, no one is going to suggest that it's time to evaluate your preaching. So there will be no questions about the theology you speak when you preach. There won't be too many questions about the Bible and your preaching, and there won't be very many questions about your interpretation of the Bible and your preaching. That being said, in America today, you don't have to pick and choose. You can hear this sermon, you can hear Joel Osteen's message, and you can watch the ball game all on the same day, thanks to technology. You will, however, have to find your own breakfast. Remember the list of best preachers published every 10 years? Noticeably absent from the list of best preachers is Joel Osteen. He didn't make the list. The late Reverend Robert Schuller was not on the list 20 years ago. Two of my hero pastors were, in my opinion, excellent preachers. They were younger than me, but one of them was dismissed from his megachurch for un-Christ-like behavior, like manipulating his book sales online. Another demonstrated bullying tactics in leading his church. More un-Christ-like behavior. And neither of them ever taught preaching, and neither of them wrote books on preaching. So while I was looking for the best preachers in America, I found an article on the richest pastors in America. And I had to ask myself if I was mentally prepared to read that list. But I got through it. Come to find out, many of the richest pastors on the list are not pastors or preachers at all. They are in charge of parachurch ministries, television, radio broadcasts. Of the eight on the list of richest, only three actually serve congregations and preach every week. But like Joel Osteen, they probably don't have many other formal responsibilities. They preach. They don't visit at the hospital or in the home or go to the annual local See You at the Pole prayer vigil at the school like I just did last Wednesday morning. So what's the state and status of preaching in America? Well, the preaching is present and accounted for. Thousands of pastors are reporting for duty on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, and some Sunday evenings. But we simply do not know how it's going out there. However, one indication is from a study, it's also 10 years old. The Christian church in America, it's all the Christians who are part of churches, are becoming less theologically literate. What used to be basic, everyone knows truths about the Christian faith are now unknown mysteries to a large and growing share of Americans, especially young adults. For instance, one study in 2010 showed that while most people regard Easter as a religious holiday, only a minority of adults associate Easter with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Other examples include the finding that few adults believe that their faith is meant to be the focal point of their life or to be integrated into every aspect of their life. Further, a growing majority believe the Holy Spirit is a symbol of God's presence or power, but not a living entity. As the two younger generations become the congregations and congregation leaders in churches across America, the study suggests that biblical illiteracy will increase greatly. More and more people, including the leaders of the churches, will know less and less about the Bible. To me, that can only mean one thing. The preaching and teaching week after week in this country isn't good enough. Although in defense of pastors everywhere, I know, and other pastors know, that there are always a few people in the pews who are present for worship for years and then come to find out they had not heard a word that we said. These people decided to leave their spouse, or they had an affair, or they ended their marriage, or they stole money at work and got caught, or for whatever reason, church life and home life just never did connect in their brains. Churches and pastors have tried to remedy this situation, even though most of us are left to our own devices with regard to preaching. We've come through some fads in preaching. One of them was that during the sermon, the congregation is encouraged to text or tweet the pastor during the sermon. The pastor then responds to the texts and the tweets in the sermon, so the sermon is more a conversation in the making than a presentation or exposition or explanation of the Bible. Some congregations have also done the workbook approach, where the sermon is heard, grasped, and applied during the worship service in workbooks, which is why you might worship at tables, so you have a surface to write in your workbook, just like you remember them from school. So here we are, September 28, 2019. I've been pastor and preacher here for 34 years. There were sermons preached here before I got here for over 130 years, as far as we can tell. And praise the Lord, there are still people here at Daleville Christian Church listening to a sermon at Daleville Christian Church. But there are more than 50 people who hear the sermons that are preached here each Sunday. Thanks to the internet and World Wide Web technology, this sermon and the last 360 sermons preached here are available online 24 hours a day, every day of the week. And people are finding their way to Daleville Christian Church's website and listening to these sermons. What we have learned so far is that the longer the sermons are available, more people find them and listen to them. I have the distinction of being the most downloaded pastor in all of Daleville Christian Church history. Just because I'm the only downloaded pastor in all of Daleville Christian Church history is not the point. We in the spiritual support team celebrate every victory, no matter how small it may be. Now, preaching is important, but it's not the only thing that is important. Note my favorite pastor preachers who were put out of their pulpits because of unchristlike behavior. I had a pastor say that the idea of a trial sermon before calling a pastor is a silly idea. Why? Because every preacher can preach one good sermon, and that's the one the congregation will hear for the trial sermon. Fortunately, with sermons available online, the pulpit calling committee could review a whole season of sermons. But preaching is important. One is for the obvious reason that the sermon is the one thing that all the worshipers at that church will all hear, and that is true if the church has more than one service, and it's true if the church has more than one campus where worship happens. In most large congregations, it's still true that all of the congregations, no matter how large and spread out over the city, they all hear the same message. It was true here at Daleville Christian Church when we had two services on Sunday morning. For people who are not active in the life of the church, the pastor might be called the preacher because that's all the church member ever sees the pastor doing. The pastor's never called the officer or the hospital chaplain or the Wi-Fi technician or the chair of anything, although the pastor may indeed be and do all those things in a church. It isn't unlike being a mom. Moms do 1,000 things, but they always get called mom, which isn't something anyone actually does, even though mom probably cooks and cleans and chauffeurs and teaches and organizes and purchases. They just call her mom. Pastor is probably more like a mom word. If the pastor has pastored to you or is a pastor to you, then you probably should call that person a pastor. Since the pastor also preaches, worships, visits homes and hospitals, offices, chairs committees, teaches class, serves as a technician and sexton. That's a building caretaker, in case that old word is unknown to you. Minister might be a better word. It's also a word that is used for pastor or preacher. A minister is usually administering something. In this case, the church, in church use, the minister is a minister of God's word. So I can go back to the start. Who am I and what am I doing here? I'm Pastor Gary McManus. I am a minister. I'm the minister at Daleville Christian Church. But you might wonder what I am a minister of. I am a minister of God's word, the Bible, to you. In Romans chapter 15, verse 16, Paul says that he was called to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. The word minister can be translated servant. Following in Paul's footsteps, any person who desires to serve God by proclaiming the gospel so that others might become sanctified by the Holy Spirit is a Christian minister. Broadly speaking, being a servant of Christ makes one a Christian minister. Therefore, our bulletin has stated for years that you are all ministers, and I am the minister to the ministers. The apostle makes clear that the apostle Paul makes clear he ministers Jesus to the Gentile foreigners. Paul had seen Jesus face to face, and there was no Bible. I have the Bible and minister Jesus through God's word to you. Paul makes clear what he does in our Bible verses for the day. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes in you by you hearing the message of Jesus through the word about Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit moves to accept that in you or confirm that word in you. New Testament writers did not have a Bible. They were writing the Bible. But we have a Bible, and we have our Bible in our own language, thanks to another preacher, Martin Luther. Another reason we are here together for the preaching of the Word of God. We believe that these words in the Bible come from God, that God created everything, and he cares about us, and God, who cares about us, is trying to communicate with us. He uses his word first. In 1 Peter chapter 1, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, says the Apostle Paul. You hold to the word, not the preacher of the word. We'll talk about that coming up in a few Sundays. That's why I'm standing up here, and why you consent to listen each time you come to worship. And we do this every week because we're human and we forget. We forget exactly what we heard. And the Holy Spirit works newness in us each time we come together and hear the Word of God. And the Apostle said, we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. The resurrected Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. Being a follower of Jesus isn't a one and done thing. Renewal is ongoing until that day we are face to face and give God the glory. Amen.